Well, welcome to the Ag Market Network, our monthly cotton market teleconference. This is April the 11th. My name is Pat McClatchy. I'm the moderator. Our program is sponsored by BASF. They're the owners of Fibermax and Stoneville Cottonseed. Our program will be somewhat condensed today. OA was to be our speaker. He's a little under the weather, so Gerald Nieper has agreed to fill in. And I know John is on. Dr. John Robson will be with us. So let's get started, Gerald, and give us your thoughts on the crop report.
Well, the crop report was. I'm surprised I had anything to talk about on the crop report today because world production is down only 33,000 bales. World consumption is down 129,000 bales. Now, on the consumption side, Pakistan is down 300 and Turkey down 200, but they did raise China by 500,000 bales up to 38 million. So, really, world production down 33, consumption down 129. You can imagine any stock, did not do much. It was down 267,000. Now, beginning stock coming into this year, they were revised a little bit from the last report. They were down 360,000 bales, but when you feed everything through the system, world ending stocks are down 267. I suppose the big news, if there's anything, is that the Chinese imports were increased by 1,300,000 bales. Pakistan was reduced 400,000. Thailand, Uzbekistan 50,000 each. Indonesia down 100,000. So all in all, world trade was increased by 700,000 bales, which is what you'd like to see if you want to see world consumption pick up, is world trade picking up. Now, obviously, it's all geared toward China right now, but you got to get started someplace, if you're going to pick up consumption. And I kind of think that once we kind of work through these near-term issues that we've got with the market, and of course, a lot of it is the rolling of these funds from the May into the July contract, or even into the December if they want to. But I think this market is probably getting set up to rally again. I don't know that the rally is going to be terribly strong, but I think we've kind of worn it out. One thing that's putting pressure on the market, of course, is we keep seeing certificated stocks come to the board. Another 18,000 came to the board today. That brings certificated stocks up to 155,000. And while that's negative, in the short term, it may be positive if somebody, if there's a strong picker that steps up to take the board. I'm not hearing that that's going to happen, but you just never know. Today's export sales report was positive. Another 85 to 90,000 bales between Upland and Pima. Obviously, most of it's Upland. Now, there were some cancellations, but, on a net basis, China accounted for 50,000. So if you want to be a bear, you say, well, if you take China out of that, we only netted 35,000 bales this week. But, China is in there, and I don't know that we're done with China. And probably more critically is that, we were selling into a market that was declining. So, people are needing cotton. Brazil obviously is really putting pressure around the world on the basis because they got to get rid of their cotton. And so their basis is really weak landed. I mean, you're talking for, strict middling into an eighth and longer. I've heard, anywhere from $300 to $500 on landed. And, whereas U.S. cotton is probably at least, 5 to 8 cents higher than that, from the low to the high. So, in order for us to sell cotton in volume, the basis is going to come down. Or the market's got to come down. And I guess it's a little bit disturbing that even with the market coming down like this, we haven't seen an appreciable increase in the basis. But that just may be a matter of time as we work through these stocks. Ending stocks here in the United States are 2.5 million bales. That's pretty tight. I don't know that we're done. increase in the U.S. export number, even though, you know, we've got this competition, we are selling cotton. And when you look at the Census Bureau numbers versus USDA, you know, export sales numbers, they're still ahead by over 400,000 bales, which would, you know, their methodology would indicate that they take half that differential and plug it into, you know, the export number. But you know, you can argue that we're 200,000 bales behind, you know, what on exports anyway, behind what the weekly export sales report is showing. So while this market is down today, and I heard, and Pat, maybe you heard the same rumor, that some fund is got caught short on a bunch of short puts, and they decided instead of, you know, turning those into long futures at some point, they decided to cover those short puts. And if that's the case, and I don't know what sort of volume it was, but if that's the case, then if they were buying short puts, buying back the puts, that would have put pressure on the board, particularly on the May contract, to go down if they were having to cover those short puts, and then people would have been selling futures against that put buy. By the way, Pat, did you hear that particular rumor at all?
Yeah, there's been talk about that.
Okay. But, you know, short term, this market is oversold. Is it monster oversold? No, but it's getting closer. And we should get, if nothing else, a dead cat bounce here in the next day or two. But, you know, today was the last day of the golden roll, so that might, you know, alleviate some of the pressure in terms of, you know, buy July, sell May, buy December, sell May or July. So that might alleviate some of the pressure on the front end of the board as we move forward. But, yeah, we should get some sort of a, like I said, a dead cat bounce. And we're at an important point as far as support for the May contract is concerned. Somewhere in that 82 to 83 cent area, I think, is where we're going to make a stand. It's going to make a stand there. And, you know, it was nice to see that December, even with the pressure in the front end of the board, and even with those, you know, seemingly beneficial rains, any rain in West Texas is beneficial. I don't mean to make light of it, but, you know, good rains in West Texas, that this market, that December was only down, what, 70 points today, 72 points today. We settled, you know, above 80 cents, near that 80, 70, 80, 72 area. And we bounced off the 200-day moving average, which was around 80, 41, I think it was. So that's good news. And so I just things don't look great, but they don't look horrible either. I think there's some good stuff to take out of this. But for right now, the money flow seems to be, you know, exiting some of these long positions that these speculators have been in. And, you know, something friendly happens and they'll jump back in there. But for right now, the, you know, the path of least resistance seems to be down. But I think we're getting near the down part of this move. So, you know, near term, you know, the May and July contract should find good support between 82 and 84 cents. Of course, July's up a little higher than May right now. But and on the upside, I don't know. We might climb back up to the 86, 87 cent area, but I think that's gonna take some effort to get up that high. December, you know, if we can hold 80 cents, if we can hold this 200-day moving average, you know, I think we'll make a move back up to the 83 to 85 cent area. I really thought we had a shot at 87 to 88. I thought we'd break out of the top end of this trading range that we had been in, but I think 83 cents is going to be a tough area to get back through. But if we can get back through 83 cents, we may make a run on 85 cents in the December. So, Pat, that would be my commentary, as abbreviated and as maybe kind of disjointed as it was, but if there's any questions or anything, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
All right. John, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, a few. Just to echo some of what Gerald said with regarding the specs, you know, and the possibility of them still coming back, that's certainly, you know, to whatever, for whatever their reasoning has been to buy it up and to sell it off. I mean, those are all, the volatility there is since it's spec influenced, that's just going to be a part of it, and it could rise again if for some whatever reason they get back on a bandwagon. That's certainly possible. I was thinking that they were perhaps selling off some along with the stock market because of more macro things, you know, thoughts that, well, we may have to, we're going to postpone cutting interest rates and may have to raise them more or just hold on to the levels that we have. You know, all of that's going to possibly come into play when we're dealing with spec influence, which we are. The other thing that kind of just strikes me as interesting is the amazing stability of the new crop prices. You know, when May and July were going up, it seemed like the December was just kind of stuck there at 83, 84 something. And now that everything is coming down, you know, the December really isn't coming down as much either. It's remarkably stable and apparently dancing to its own tune, which is good. I agree with what I hear Gerald saying about having to kind of refight its way back up to the 83, 84 cent level. Given the seasonal pattern of December futures, you know, it wouldn't surprise me that we're entering a period of uncertainty about the crop size and the acreage and crop condition. All of that's going to come into play as it usually does. And, you know, that uncertainty tends to buoy the market. I wouldn't be surprised kind of over all the way into through the second quarter to perhaps see upper 80s a little bit longer term. But it's the time of the year for that. We've had the March 31 prospective plantings number come out since we chatted last, and that was at 10.7, a little lower than expectations. Certainly lower than mine. I was assuming we'd have 11 point something, and I had heard a number of estimates of people that were expecting something even higher, even 12 or above. I still think that's a possibility, having at least 11 and a half or so, and with the conditions that we've got, it doesn't seem hard to me to pencil out a 16 million bale crop. So I'm still kind of taking this position of perhaps having more production this season than we can balance out, unless there is an improvement in the demand picture. All right. Those were my disjointed thoughts.
Okay. Well, in trying to kind of summarize and go on and talk about the outlook for prices, Gerald, you seem to be saying 86 to 87 in old crop to the upside, and we could be getting close to the downside now. Is that about right?
Yeah, I kind of feel that way, yes.
Well, and then in the December, 83 to 85, and I assume you're looking at we're getting close to the low end in that.
Yes.
John, yes. What are you were saying upper 80s and old crop, is that right?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we got into all the way into 88 or so by sometime in the second quarter, and then if we follow a normal pattern of seasonal price weakness in the fall, and if demand doesn't decidedly improve to balance out a larger size crop, then I'm worried about sliding back under 80, probably. If I had to pick a 10-cent range, I'd say 78, 88, new crop.
Okay. All right, well, any other closing thoughts here?
Just one. We got some news about USDA discontinuing what had been part of the information flow, the proven yield data that they would conduct in the old days in August. You know, we'd get a glimpse of what the actual yield prospects were out on the ground. If I understand the announcement, they're discontinuing that. So that kind of just suggests to me that we're going to be dealing with more uncertainty about the production variable, you know, until we get Jennings data and classing data, which isn't until later in the fall. So it's kind of opening the door to more uncertainty and perhaps more later season volatility than we've been used to.
Okay.
Well, you're right, John. I forgot to mention that. They won't have any objective yield survey anymore, so you won't have guys going out in the field, you know, counting bowls, measuring bowls, and coming up with some kind of a yield estimate. And although they had really whittled that survey down, Texas was still a big part of that survey, and they won't have that at all now. And you're going to be completely dependent on, you know, telephone surveys, you know, with growers. And not that that's bad, but it sure is nice to go out and sort of back it up with some, you know, on-site objective yield estimates.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and we'll wrap up today's program. Thank you, Gerald, for filling in, doing a good job leading us today. Also, thanks to John for being with us. And we thank BASF for sponsoring our program. And that concludes this edition of the Ag Market Network. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat.